This is the Herald App, reporting a story by John Crawford, village 85 years old, and remembers very clearly the day in 1905 when, as marshal of the village of Wild Rose, he helped catch the bank robbers who were found in a wood nearby. This is the 31st of August, 1957. All right, you tell us the story now?
It's all set.
All set.
All set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're working in both places at the same time.
The robbers, you mean?
Yeah, the robbers were working in the post office and in the bank. Two of them was in the bank and two was in the post office, blowing up the safes.
Well, did you begin from the time when two men came to your house at night, you know, when you were almost through with your work?
Yeah, well, that's what the start of it did. Of course, those people came, I didn't know anything about it at that time. I had to go to bed before they went to work.
Mm-hmm.
See, they went to work after I went to bed.
Well, I mean, the two men who came to your house and wanted to stay overnight.
Yeah.
Did you begin there? Tell that?
Yeah. Well, they came there after I closed this places up.
Mm-hmm.
They had saloons here then, you know, too.
And you had to close them at 11 before you went home?
Yeah, I had to see that they were closed and before I could go home. And then when I went home, these two men were at the door
They
wanted to find out where I was,
you know. Mm-hmm.
So they were talking to my wife, and they wanted a place to stay. And she says to them, "Why don't you go to the hotel and stay?" They said, "This hotel is full. We ain't no room in the hotel." And she says, "Well, we haven't got no room over here." And just then I came up from uptown.
Mm-hmm.
Had everything closed up. And I says, "Well, boys," I says, "what are you doing here?" He says, "We are potato diggers and we want a place to stay all night." And I says, "You can't stay. We haven't got no room in the house for you." And I says, "I can fix you a place in the barn if that'll satisfy you. And that'll be all right. That was fine, eh?" Just what suited them, you see, then they could watch me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Know where I was. I says, "I'm going in pretty soon now." And I says, "Yeah, I'll get a lantern, I'll fix you out." And so I took them up there. Went to bed. Then I went to bed. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I got notice that there were two men in the post office. They'd already blown the safe up, and there were two working in the bank, and they blew the first door open in the bank safe, and they had the glycerine and stuff ready for the second charge.
Mm-hmm.
And they were disturbed by this fellow across the street. He ran into a telephone wire or something. Yeah, and they heard it, and they skipped out. But they'd already blown this deuce out of the safe in the post office and got all the money out of there, but they didn't get nothing out the bank. But they had the charge already to blow it, the second charge. We had to get an expert afterwards to fix that up. Gosh, and there's lots to it. I could. Remember it all. I can remember it all, but the way to go off is.
Well, you're
well, we don't need to worry about it.
You went down by the Kaminsky School last
year. I cracked them out then.
Yeah.
As far as they crossed the bridge. I knew they crossed the bridge, some of them. And so I tracked them as far as the Kaminsky Schoolhouse with the lantern even. They could see me, of course. How foolish I was. But they turned off there and went off towards by the Kaminsky. They went off towards Idlewild and up through by Humphreys that way. I could track them once in a while, you know, see their tracks. I knew their track. And they went as far as Hanwell Schoolhouse, and that's the last place I could find a track. So they either went on the grass along the fence up on that hill, or else it was over on the grass next to the lake. So we figured they would get down where there was water next to the lake. So I went down in through there and I thought to myself, oh gee whiz, I don't know. If there was four of them, what'll I do against four if they've got guns and everything? I won't be able to handle four of them myself. So I says to Nash, I says, we better go back and get up a posse. That come to my mind right away. Get up a posse, surround the country to run through there. So that's what we did do. And we hunted, didn't find nobody on that side. So it ran along towards sundown. It was getting late. And everybody wanted to get home. And they said, there's no use. Them fellows is far enough gone now. We won't find them. You might as well look for a needle in the haystack. Well, I said, there's just one place I'd like to look over yet before we go, if some of you will volunteer to go with me. So Joe volunteered, Johnny Roberts and some more fellows, that there's good shots. I placed them each side of the woods, some on the south and some on the east and some on the west end and then some on. Then I says, when you get set, I'll go through the center. And if there's anybody I could see between the putting their white pieces, you could see from one field to the other. So trucking along, for I see four fellows coming towards me, but looking the other way around. They weren't looking towards the side I was on, and I had Reed on all Rambler all the time. He was the leader, and I thought, well, they're just about even with me now. I can't let them go by. I says, halt. Well, gee, who's that, Mr. Shoot? They just whirled around the Mr. Shoot. And that's me, you know, but I let him go and I knocked his hat off, first shot. Because I had a good bead on him. That was the start of it, but there's not a lot to it, you know. I just get it in shape.
And then did they go and did they run then when you began to shoot at them?
Yeah, they ducked. into a clump of, and I run right by them, looking up, you know, thinking they're going to run across the field on the other side. Nobody came out on that side, so the boys said, they wouldn't know what they're shooting at. I said, there's four strangers in here. So we formed another line, went back in, and they commenced to shoot again, and we drove, I drove them right down to the corner where the rest of the boys had come up then from the corner.
And then they
gave up, and that's the time the old Hanlon was going to take a bead on me, and he says, you son of a bitch, he says, I'll get you, just like the words used. I was just close enough to him like that I could hear what he said and everything. And draw the line, he put his arm around a little sapling tree that was there, and he's going to just take a good shot at me. Because I had nothing in my gun, you know, I couldn't help myself if he did. I wasn't scared, though, not a bit. But,
what kept him from doing it, from shooting?
Huh?
Why didn't he shoot?
Somebody else got him first. He got him, he put his arm out, he had his arm up like that, you see?
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow that shot him, shot under his arm, he didn't come out on me, and you can hurt on me. That was the end of it. You end up then and capture them all.
Oh, is that the one they call Patsy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one they call it Patsy. They said you was a wild one too. You had a lot of scars in yourself too.
Then how did you get them back to town?
We had the rigs there then.
Horses and buggies or horses and wagons or?
Yeah, I had my rig there, and some of the other fellows had rigs for the livery barn. And we had a double-seated rig there that they could, several of them ride. And that's the one that the chick put the halter on. And then tied him to the post that ran up and down.
And you brought him back to the hydro?
And old Ramler says to me, he says, here, this darn sand, he says, is worse than snow. How did you find out where we were? How did you? I says, we tracked you. I tracked you. He says, this darn sand is worse than snow, he says.
And then you took them to jail in Wautoma that same night?
Yeah, same night. It was a little late, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We had to take care of them here, and then we took one of them down to feed him. Feed the other fellas too. Took them to a hotel. Give them plenty to eat first. But old Ramsey, we had to keep. Yeah, he was able to go here. Shot pretty close to the brain, you know, and he was in misery.
Did you keep him in the hotel, or where did you stay?
No, kept him in Dick Sage's place with a guard with a gun over him all night. Yeah. Charlie Darling watched him all night.
But then, how long was it before they went to prison?
Oh, it took quite a while. They had to have a hearing over in Milwaukee first. And they started them to go to Oshkosh. But the old Rambo, he said, no, he says, we want to go before the federal court. So they went, took them to Milwaukee then.
And then from there you went with them to Leavenworth
prison? Yeah.
That must have been quite a thrill.
Yeah. And then when they got through, they put Frank Chase, the bank had something on the Medicaid they could take them. So they went after him, and the first thing they wanted to know where I was when he got back to a home jail. He says, he's out here and driving nailed it. I hadn't been back to church yet. And they wanted to see me. So I went in to see him. Boy, they were just as nice as they could be. They said, we ain't got nothing against you. You was just doing your duty. So they wanted me to know that they had nothing against me. Well, I don't know what ever become, what they done with them. They sent them over the road again for another year. I don't know what ever become of them after that.
Didn't you say that Rambler killed himself in prison?
Yeah, he killed himself. And there's a Patsy who's killed, you see. Mm-hmm. So there's two of them gone. Mm-hmm. So there's only two left.
And he was buried at Oak Hill?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was buried here in Oak Hill.
Did you ever find any relatives of his?
Nobody never heard of any relatives.
Well, who put the marker by his grave?
We know. That's why they told. Somebody did it.
How old
were they? In the dawn of the night, too.
How old were these rabbits?
They were not any of them very old. Old Rambler, I guess, was the oldest one, and handled him. Yeah.
Well, that was right.
Patsy was kind of a young. Oh, he couldn't have been over 25, anyway. They said to you, they said you were a good one.
You would have made a good rabbit.
Yeah. That's what they said.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, would you tell us about finding the money?
Mm-hmm.
You found the money?
Yeah, we found all the money that they took out the post office on their person. Except $40 or $45, whatever they had it all divided, you know, equal. Each one had his share in the little tankers that were kind of tied up in chains and bills too. Whatever there was in the post office. And we got all the money except $45. But we went back the next day, but somebody, and they had the worst, I guess, and got the money.
Did you get anything out of it at all, yourself?
Boy, we got the reward. We got that reward, and I divided that all up. I don't remember what it didn't amount to. It didn't amount to. There were so many of us, it didn't amount to such a... I think we got a... If I remember right, $1,200 reward altogether.
Thank you.
Is that all? If that ever goes up, it'll blow the hole in the ground big enough to bury a house. So he says, if you go to work tomorrow or the next day, you'll be careful to that. And take any chances. So he shot, found it, where he throwed it. And then when he captured it, and he took after him, he pulled that, you know, got rid of it, dropped it. He told me right where it was. So I got the, he got a gun, and somebody shot it. You ought to see that thing blow up. Made a hole there, you could bury a house.
Who warned you about that?
Hmm?
Who warned you about that?
Old Rambler.
Who did?
Yeah.
Well, he was pretty
Yeah, he didn't want me to get hurt or any of us to get hurt with it on his account, because it made it all the worse for him, you know, I suppose.
Who were the local people who went with you out there? Who was in the posse?
Oh, next day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't remember the... Oh, gosh, I could name a lot of them. I forgot now.
Your brother Lewis?
Yeah, and Jim Roberts, and the mail carrier from Berlin. David. What was his name, too?
Big David?
No, it wasn't long. But there were a lot of them from here, you know, at that time. I think Hawk sits with some of them. I know Hawk. Bill Hughes. Well, there was a lot of them closeted around here at that time.
This is the 9th of July, 1968, and we're now visiting with Lewis Prather, the brother of John Prather, who just made the recording in 1957. What do you remember about the robbery, Mr. Prather?
Well, I remember it was a very exciting day. I was at that time but I was drayman. I run the dray here, and the four men that slept in my brother Johnny's barn, we picked them, and they called me up from the depot to come around the back street and help pick them up. So we took them over to the lockup that we had at Wild Rose at that time. And then the posse started out. So we went. And we went all day long until that towards evening. So they decided there's nothing doing, so they were going to go home. So we stopped on the four corners just east of the Hannibal's home and said, "We haven't been through those yet, have we?" "No." "Shall we go?" "Well, somebody says there's no use in going because they've gone out of here by now." So finally, somebody says, "Well, if we're going, let's go." "Well, all right, let's go." So we all went, and so the posse was set. The good riflemen were set on the outside, on both sides of the field, of the woods. And there was a man by the name can't think of his name now. He was a stranger at that time here. They put him and I to go out and give us a few minutes to start with, to go to the north end of the woods. There's a rail of fence, and we were both to take each side, one each side of the fence, and come down and meet Johnny and I.R. Mash. Nash would start and come to, towards and meet us. We didn't see anything of them until I heard our brother Johnny holler for them to halt, and they started shooting right away. Well, just as soon as they started shooting, then I got a glimpse of them. Well, I had a shotgun. I was shooting BBs. and I let her drive in the brush there, but I don't know whether I hit anybody or not. I don't think so. But Johnny shot, and I saw Rambler's hat fly off his head. Well, so we lost them then for for quite a long time. So we kept circling, getting where we saw them the last time, and the brush was so thick there that we couldn't see but a few feet ahead of us. But finally they took to their heels, and we got them cornered in a ravine closer to the road, and there's where we had the battle. And there were several there, lots more than I can begin to think of. So, but I saw this man killed. I saw the man shoot him, and I saw him take the bead on him, and he never knew whatever hit him. So I don't know what.
Was that a bullet or a shotgun?
It's a bullet. And I've shot a good many deer with it, and I tell you, I never get up to if I hit them. Well, I don't know.
Well, tell us about the gray business.
Well, we took them to put them in the lockup.
Well, I mean, when you were hauling gray, when you were running.
There were loads and loads of goods come to on the depot here. Platform on both sides of the depot at that time. You remember that? Don't you remember that?
Eh? A lot of it was heavy.
Oh, everything came by freight, you know. Everything came by freight. Sure, everything. Oh, yes.
You had a team of horses, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. I kept that for a year, and then I sold out to Johnny.
Surgeon?
No, Johnny. Kulak. Oh, just a minute, just a minute. Clayton, Johnny Clayton. I bought Maury Milliken out, and then I sold out. I run it for a year. Then I took a trip to Tacoma, Washington, and came back. And
where was your old home?
Where I was born?
Yeah.
Right over here. First house east on the left hand side of Pete Popek on trunk line A.
The house is gone now.
No.
Oh,
there's no house there now. That is my grandfather's house.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. But that's where we were all born.
You had some interesting experiences in a livery barn too, didn't you? Have runaways or something?
Oh,
runaways?
Yes, and runaways all kinds. I had runaways. My fellows took them out there. One runaway was the man that I had working for me. He went off and left the team. There was naturally a runaway team anyway. He went off and left them. This runaway. I never saw the buggy afterwards. Then I used to drive them myself.